we're gonna see how this works. I talk really loud, so I don't know if I'm gonna contain myself to one spot with a microphone. I teach preschool, so I don't stand still very long. All right, so like she said, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think I might just, yeah, we'll see here. The red one.
Thank you.
Just a little bit. All right. So I'm Lauren Miller. I have been teaching at Byron Center Christian for 2 years now. I am actually now teaching preschool full time when we signed up to speak at CEA. I was teaching preschool part-time and technology, and now I'm teaching preschool 5 days a week. Prior to coming to Byron Center, I taught Great Start Readiness Preschool for Jenison Public Schools for 5 years, and I have my master's in curriculum instruction for early childhood education. So today's plan is that we're going to be going through a mindset, whole class implementations, and then individual supports for when you need more things. This QR code is the same QR code that was on the first slide that has links to my presentation, links that I will talk about, as well as additional resources, and there is a link to a Google form for questions that you might have. On the question form, there is a spot for you to put your email so that you can write your question and I will respond to your question most likely by email. All right, so my goal is to provide you with ideas and tools for setting up your classroom for social emotional success, helping your students identify their emotions, providing you with regulation and co-regulation strategies, and tools for when you have that student that you're like, I need more. All right, so as we're beginning, the first thing I want you to think about is that behavior is a form of communication. Any form of our behavior is communicating, what am I feeling? Is it okay to feel this way as our students? And does anyone care I'm feeling this way? And how do I practice these emotions? And what do I do about them now? A lot of what I'm presenting on, I've been through training with Conscious Discipline. All of the Conscious Discipline's resources are available for free on their website when you create an account. So that is on the links page as well. So this quote is from Conscious Discipline. It says, if we choose to view the communication embedded in a child's behavior as a call for help, we'll have the opportunity to solve the problem by teaching new skills to everyone involved. All right, so our first topic is zones of regulation. I have used zones of regulation in my classroom to help students identify their different emotions. Most of my presentation will be geared toward preschool kindergarten, but there are Upper L resources available on the resource page for those of you who are on the higher end. The first step in helping students with regulation and social emotional success is that they are able to identify what they are feeling. So we are wanting when thinking about what do we feel and what does it look like to be in each of the zones. This is something that needs to be taught explicitly. So a couple different ways that you can do that is through picture books, whole class discussions, small group discussions, role playing, games, writing activities, Play-Doh. I have provided you on the resource page different activity, like there is a link to books, there are some different games, that one of them is a feeling matching game that I have done with my students, as well as a couple different ones that are for various grade levels. Another way of instructing about those zones and having students be able to recognize their emotions and what they're feeling is through social stories. The emotional social stories are linked in the resource. This is the only resource that I have in there that is not free, because it's the exact one that I have in the presentation, and that one is on TPT. So, but different examples include what it looks like to feel in the green zone. I'm feeling green when I want to, feeling green is where I want to be. It is when I am at my baseline. I can focus on positive things, use strategies to keep me green. I talk a lot with my students about what zone are you feeling in? Are you feeling in the green zone? We want to be in the green zone. I have those emoji pictures in a couple different spots in my classroom. When we're feeling in the blue zone of, I might feel sad or tired, I might not want to participate. So these social stories kind of talk through what it might feel like and then gives different ideas of what they can do. And the last example over there says, feeling green is where I want to be, and I can take breaths, I can take a break. This one thinking specifically when they're in the red zone, when they're angry or frustrated or being physically aggressive or very heightened emotion. And I can focus on calming my body. I can positively distract myself and use words. I soon will be feeling green. So that whole thought of it's okay to feel these emotions, but in order for us to function and be successful in the classroom, we need to get ourselves back to that. Yeah.
We're having a hard time hearing you back here.
Oh. I'm sorry.
It's not you. It's next door's really loud. So.
Oh, okay. All right, let's try this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
How about now? Any idea? Better? Worse?
Better.
Keep going? Turn it up more?
Good.
Okay. Thanks for saying something. So yes, using different stories to talk about what it looks like to feel different emotions. I have used, with the zones of regulation, having a daily check-in. One of my classes was very, they were either high or they were low, and there was no in-between. Either I had kids on the floor crying, or I had kids who were running from my classroom and biting me. So we had a daily check-in so I could try to see where we were actually at. When they came in the morning, they moved their picture to a specific, like to where they were feeling. Were they feeling sad? Were they feeling angry? Were they feeling okay? And that kind of just gave me an idea. This might be something that you even just do with an individual student after lunch so that they can check themselves and see where they're at. Using what zone are you feeling right now? As you're talking with students and you're noticing different ways that they're feeling. I'm noticing that you are scrunching up your face. Are you feeling angry? I am noticing that you are clenching your fists. Are you feeling frustrated? And sharing the language with families in your classroom as well so that they can practice at home too. I've had many parents share with me that their child is able to articulate better how they're feeling and saying things like, Mom, I'm feeling in the red zone, I need to take a break, or Mom, I'm feeling angry, help me, kind of thing, opposed to just beginning to lash out, and even just that beginning step of recognizing, right now I'm feeling this emotion. All right, so you're going to have 3 minutes that you can share with your neighbors of what's something that you want to try in your classroom. This is an opportunity that you can type a question if you have a question for me.
Could you put that QR code back up?
Yes. Okay. talking about building whole class connections. The why, talking about routines, rituals, and then how, some connection builders. When we think of each of our students, or we think of really even ourselves, there are three different levels that your brain is functioning in. The lowest level being you're functioning in a survival state. These are our students who they are asking the question, am I safe? And the only way to soothe that survival state is through the creation of safety within your classroom. This survival state can look like students who hide, fight, the fight or flight, surrendering kind of behavior, physical reactions. As we move a little bit further up, as you see, it starts at the brainstem, moving up in your brain, then it's responding in an emotional state or with your limbic system of wanting that, am I loved or do I have a connection? Students or even adults responding in, you know, back emotional responses of back talk and sass and yelling and verbal reactions to you, and just craving that connection. And then the highest level being the executive state, where we're able to problem solve and learn through problem solving. And it's looking like, you know, yes, as young kids, they're not always functioning in the executive state, but I have found that even with my four-year-olds, like, there are times we can talk through a situation, we can problem solve, but many times it's understanding that where they're functioning at and what their inner need is. So, thinking first about that question of, am I safe? Building a visual schedule within your classroom, even at an upper level. I don't have the quote in here because I couldn't figure out what slide to put it on, but there was a quote that talked about that adults think in words and kids think in pictures. And so even when they can read, being able to have those pictures that they're able to connect, having a schedule that they know exactly what's coming next. And when you're making those changes to those schedules, pre-letting them know so that they're able to work through that even when they throw a tantrum because you have to go to chapel today. Having visual routines. I have linked in the links. I have a slide for every portion of my day. So, like, this is our one that it looks like when we come to the carpet. So they know what they're going to do, and then I verbally will say, oh, are we ready? And then I'll go through each step. Providing children with visual images of what to do during transitions is like giving them a mini rehearsal of our expectations and procedures. So the more the kids know and the more that they have control of knowing what's going on, they then are able to say, okay, I'm safe, I know what's coming next in my day, I can think about my reactions to things. Also having pictures of what is acceptable behavior and being able to refer to them of like what our body needs to look like. It takes out the guessing for students of what their job is, referring to that, this is what your job, this is what your body should look like. Yeah.
So when you say adults think in words and kids think in pictures, up to what age would you say they're still thinking in pictures?
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think it's ever a negative to have pictures. Like, I think of, I taught middle school, and I wish I would have used more visuals in middle school.
Okay.
So I like pictures even as an adult. But that, no, I know what you mean. I don't have an exact number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
this was an interesting quote about visual routines. Chaos is an urgent call for visual routines. Visual images provide rehearsals for students. They allow students to rehearse a routine over and over again at any given time. If we each think about a moment where you have chaos in your day, that indicates where you could create a routine and break it down visually. The visual could be a single picture or a series of pictures representing each step in the process. They could also be put in a book form. So the two examples that I have up here, and as I was, like, I made this presentation in like July and then revisited it within the last couple weeks, and I was like, oh, I need to do this again in my classroom because I talked about doing it and then I never did, is like what it looks like for my students for the area to be clean. Like, this is the expectation, and then giving them steps of what it means to get there. The middle picture is showing more of a at-home visual, but I've used similar things with students who struggle with, like, I mean, I use pictures for snow gear, but even unpacking their backpack. I had a student once who, like, literally would just stand in the hallway. He'd just stand. And I was like, okay, let's take her coat off. And so when we started doing, like, moving pictures, he was able to gain a little bit of independence with it of, okay, we're going to put her coat on the hook, then we're going to take her folder out of her backpack, then we're going to hang up our backpack. And began to get a little bit of traction rather than him just staring at me. But thinking about specifically that time during your day when you're like, this is nuts and no one, or what am I doing wrong? I've said it four times. An idea. So the next portion is that question of, am I loved and connected? One way to build that in your classroom is by having some form of a classroom meeting that has four parts. Something to unite you guys together as a group, such as a prayer. I do the same hello song every morning. That is our unite. Something to distress and center yourself. Some days we do breathing strategies. Some days we're ready. But definitely if it's been a tough transition, being like, okay, we're all going to breathe together, and then we can get started. Connecting with your students. I'll talk more about wish you well in a moment. And then making a commitment for your day together of what it's going to look like. So, these are the four breathing strategies that I use within my classroom, that Conscious Discipline uses, and my students will pick which one they want to use. These will show back up again in the when we talk about some more helping kids get back to a green zone. But using these in the morning of just calming. Or like any time we're feeling a little squirrely, I'm like, okay, let's take two balloon breaths. Whew. And that connection piece. One of the things that I do is that we do a wish you well song. So my students have a question of the day every day that they move their picture to at the beginning of the day. In the middle, there's an example of a wish you well board where students... if they're not there, you put their picture in the middle, and then you sing the little song. So it says, we wish you well through the day, we wish you well. And the students and I will echo it, and then at the end, we'll, like, if someone's absent, we'll talk about who's absent, and then say something like, okay, you can blow them a kiss, send them a hug, high five, whatever you would like to do. And then when they return, we'll say, oh, remember when we wished you well? Let's welcome them back. And the students are very quick of, like, oh yeah, so-and-so's gone. We need to make sure we wish them well. Or even one of my aides was gone, and so we did that for her. But also thinking about it in that you can do it for people that you're concerned about, or local or global, different things like, oh, we should wish well the football team as they're traveling to States or something. That building the connection. Also, my students and I say my deep hope together every day of that we, and it has motions, of that they see God's love and share his love. And so that connection of us tying it to my deep hope and our storyboard within the classroom. And then the last portion, oh, and even you can pray. We pray. that's a connection too. We pray the same prayer every morning, but different depending on, you know, the day. That's a way to connect as well. And then the final being some way that you guys are committing for your day. It might be that you're making, like each child is making an individual commitment, or you have your handful of students who are difficult that just they are committing. We talk about in my classroom each day, and I have students talk about, oh, what's one way we could be kind today? What's one way we could be safe? What's one way we could be helpful? And then at the end of our day, we talk about, oh, well, how did we see someone be safe today? How did someone be kind, be helpful? So those are three different, or like maybe as a class you're saying, oh, you know, we really have been struggling with running in the hallway. So I'm thinking today, our commitment is that we're going to have a safe body by using walking feet. Or following directions, or making that commitment together that you're focusing on something. And then being able to circle back to that all day. Like if they are struggling with walking feet in the hallway, oh, remember when we committed that we were going to make sure we tried to have safe bodies today? Let's rethink about that. Are we having a safe body right now? Another way to build connections within your classroom is having jobs. Everyone should have a chance to have a job every couple weeks. I have 9, so it goes, I have 18 kids, so about half get a job 1 week and then half get a job the other week. And they can be a variety of different things, chores or assisting in routines or even assisting in the relationship building. I have a snack prayer that prays for snack every day. By the end of the year, I will probably have a student who leads our Wish You Well or does some of that connection stuff that we're doing already. And just allows them to feel a part of that community and building responsibility. All right, and I'll put the QR code back on here again. I just haven't gotten to that. So, you got 3 minutes.
Thank you.
the next part. Q-tip is a good reminder. It means quit taking it personally. Our CD-ROM have us to believe that other people's actions are a statement about our self-worth. And when we quit taking it personally, we free ourselves to shift our attention, calm down, and see the situation differently. Now, I know that this is hard. I have a student who currently responds to every single request by whining. It's a very long day. Also, had students who bit me because they were mad. So, sometimes it does feel personal. So, moving into our next section where we are thinking about helping our students regulate those emotions that now they're telling you that they're frustrated and they're angry and they're screaming in your face, or they're having physical reactions. So thinking back to how are we helping students get from that survival red state or blue emotional state back to that, hopefully being able to problem solve. Yeah.
I'm just curious, what is the yellow zone? Could you describe it a little more?
So the yellow, so like this brain is a little different than the zones of regulation. So the yellow is more like, typically my students end up being yellow when they're like silly and blowing raspberries in people's faces and burping and like rolling on the floor.
Okay.
That we're not angry and we're not trying to be deceitful or like not follow directions, but typically when I see students in the yellow zone, it's like they're on sensory overload or they're just dysregulated or they just need a second to, I'm going to have you go take a moment, and when you're ready to not burp in your neighbor's face, then you can come back and we'll regain my story. So in my world, there are no bad kids, just impressionable, conflicted young people wrestling with emotions and impulses, trying to communicate their feelings and needs in the only way that they know how. So that idea of, again, that behavior is communicating. This is the way that they are knowing to communicate that need. They're angry, and so they are lashing out, or they don't like the fact that they had to wait to go to the bathroom, so they are going to scream in your face. And positive intent is the willingness to see the best in others at all times. So looking past that behavior and seeing the essence of children, knowing that they are doing the best that they can at any moment, or at that moment, which is hard, because when they're dysregulated and trying to tell you something, and that includes them scratching you and you're bleeding, sometimes I don't want to think that they're the best of that situation, but trying to keep that thought process going. So the next part is I have a safe spot in my classroom. It looks similar to this cube, but it doesn't have all those things on it. Some rooms can function with just a corner. Last year, I had one of those kid teepee tents, and that worked for most of my students. At the end of the year, it was held together by duct tape, and I determined that I needed to use my classroom funds to purchase a cube that I had when I was in Jenison because it's indestructible. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to tape things back together anymore. But as we're thinking about the safe spot, thinking about what kind of tools do we have there, how are we teaching it, the routines, and then sometimes children need you to co-regulate with them. So, tools. We must teach how to use them. So like, I have done it where my safe spot is one of my rotations at the beginning of the year, and I teach how to use every single tool that's in there, and we talk about How do we use it? What's going to happen if we don't use it that way? And kind of talk through it. And we do, over the course of the year, then connect back to it. Every class is different in what tools is going to be helpful and what tools you're okay with. My students cannot have coloring in the safe spot because that is not going to work for me in preschool. We also cannot have books because most of the things in my safe spot are laminated so that they don't rip. And even then, they're pretty wrinkled. So I have a sensory bottle. I have the exercise stretchy bands that they can use. And I've got a small, one of those like little baby tag blankets that they can feel. There are a couple different resources on the resource page of different things that you can have. But again, it's knowing what your students need who are going to be using that spot, and also what you're okay with. I am not okay with 4-year-olds. We're very set on the things that they can have in there, and the bucket gets taken away too, where you're not using it appropriately. If you're going to throw the sensory bottle at me, I will take the sensory bottle. But also having things in there that then they can refer to. This is a picture of the choices that I have in my safe spot. They can do deep breaths, they can stretch, they can push the wall, they can ask for a hug, they can squeeze something. I have both of these breathing techniques in there. I also have a timer that the timer goes on when they go in, and we'll talk more about what my routine looks like for our safe spot as we progress through, but a timer so that they're not in there all day. Or at least we can try to get them out. And teaching it. Doing it whole class. Talking about when do we use the safe spot? Do we play in the safe spot? Who can talk to someone in the safe spot? All of my students know that the only people who talk to someone that is in the safe spot is an adult. That they are not to talk to anyone that's over there. That we don't take toys in there. We don't nap in there. Unless it's an outstanding circumstance. But that it is only for when we're feeling big emotions. Teaching how to use those tools, that they are tools, not toys. And sometimes it's one-on-one with kids. When they're in the green zone, talking about, oh, if you were feeling angry, what could you do? Where could you go? What could we use? And practicing that. And also just modeling it as a teacher. I have done whole group where, yeah.
So what do you think about how much autonomy you give them in choosing I need to go, or you giving them permission to go, or asking them to go?
We'll kind of talk about that more with the routine.
Okay.
But it's kind of, I always give them the, I want them to go independently.
Okay.
If they are exhibiting behavior that is not meeting expectations, I will give them the choice of, are you going to follow expectations or do you need to go take a break? If they continue, I'm going to make the choice for them. If their body is being unsafe, then the choice is made for them and I say, either you can move your body or I'm going to help you there. Because safety being the number one concern. And even modeling, I've done where I'm ready to teach a whole group and they're all rolling on the floor and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling kind of crabby right now. This might be a great time for me to go take a break in the safe spot. And then they're like, oh, we got to pull it back together. Mrs. Miller's getting crispy. And having specific routines when you use the safe spot.
That's first.
One of my students a couple weeks ago told me, you need to make this bigger. Because he bumped his head getting out of the cube. And I was like, I can fit. You can fit too. It's okay. This is perfectly fine size. And so then I literally showed him me fitting in the cube and he was like, now. I feel like I can only fit in the cube for like another couple weeks, as I'm expecting in February, and that will not be, we're not going to be fitting in the cube in January, but I can fit. So thinking about a specific routine of how to use your safe spot. These are two different ones. The colorful one is linked, actually both are linked, is one from Teacher Pay Teacher of I'm going to go to the safe spot, I'm calming down. This was one that I used quite a few years ago of like co-regulating with the student, like, all right, having the child, when they're ready, identify their emotion. But most of the time when my students go to the safe spot, I put a timer on for 2 minutes and I say, all right, you have 2 minutes. I'm going to come back in 2 minutes and see if you're ready to process. And if they're not ready, we set another 2 minutes and we'll go in cycles. Sometimes, I mean, you can tell when they're getting closer and they're just like playing, and I'll be like, oh, well, it sounds like you're playing. I think you're ready to, let's have a conversation. But it might be how to use the safe spot in having a break cards. If you are in a more upper L classroom of, I need to take a break, these are things that I can do if I'm feeling in that zone. Having a book with steps of, first I set the timer, second I choose a tool, three, when the timer goes off, I process with Mrs. Miller. So that they know, and again, like I have that picture of the calm down options that they can use when it's there. They have the breathing strategies and they have their options of things. So like one of my, most of the time when my students go there, I have one student who goes there because he's angry and he'll grab the stretchy bands and he'll like slingshot them at the side of the cube. So that's fine. And I have another student who is like super sad. So then she just sits in there like, and she rubs the blanket. Or she asks to get her stuffy out of her backpack, and then I say, okay, we can grab our stuffy, but then we're going to set our 2 minutes, and we'll talk in 2 minutes, and then she'll be like, okay, I miss my mom, let's grab her picture, let's look at it, and then we'll process. Co-regulation. It's critical to remember that a child who is triggered into an emotional or survival state is like a vacuum. That tries to pull us and others into the same state. We must consciously choose to upshift our state and our composure, or we'll become part of the problem instead of part of the solution. So that thinking of that when things feel chaotic or overwhelmed, that we can have composure by breathing and telling ourselves, we can do this. Some days it's easier than others, some behavior it's easier than others. But thinking that we need to be part of the solution and not part of the reaction. And helping students recognize. So using the DNA kind of thought of first, describing. Your face looks angry. Your mouth is doing this. You seem to be in the red zone. So that red being connected to that physical, the naming, such as you seem angry or you seem upset, naming that emotion that they're feeling, and then acknowledging what they wanted. You wanted the job as line leader. You didn't get it. Now we're going to do the letter song. You may join us or you may take a break. So, unless a student's being like physically disruptive or physically aggressive, I give them the choice. If they don't make a choice, then I say, okay, well then I'm going to help you. And typically, if I have to make the choice, it's we're going to need to regulate ourselves before we can be able to participate. So then it's let's take a break and let's talk about it. Yeah, so processing with students. That co-regulation piece of am I loved and connected? Knowing that, that child knowing that you're willing to do the hard work with them. Students might need you to do the sensory activity or the regulation activity in the safe spot with them. My student last year, every single time he sat in the safe spot, I sat next to the safe spot. And then he would sometimes he would say, I want you to row with me. And so he would take the stretchy bands and we would row. And that was as much as it was, he was physically aggressive toward me, but when we got back to a point that he was no longer being physically aggressive, I would say, oh, okay, do you need my help or do you want to do it yourself? And some days he would say, oh, I just want to stretch it myself. And then working with them when they return to a calm state to make a plan. So this is the think sheet that I use in my classroom. And I most of the time this sheet goes, a copy goes home to the family so that they know that the child utilized their safe space and that we were having these emotions. So like we talk about, oh, what zone were you feeling? I was feeling angry. What were you doing that was not okay? I hit Mrs. Miller, I ran from the classroom, them telling me these things. Oh, okay. Well, what do we need to do instead next time? I need to follow directions, or I need to keep my hands to myself. And then thinking back, okay, we're ready to move back to the group now. How would you like to connect? Do you want a hug? Do you want a handshake? Do you want a high five? Do you want a fist bump? So that they can see that we are on their team 100% of the time, even when we don't want to be sometimes. So one thing I forgot is before we do this thing, I typically have them do some type of compliance task so that I know that they're ready to actually have a conversation about it. And it might just be, oh, I need you to go get me a pen off my desk. Or if they threw things out of the safe spot, oh, you need to pick up the sensory bottle before we have this conversation. But a plan to keep them safe and ready to return. The safe spot is not a way out, but it can. What it looks like for each kid is going to look differently. I have, like, my student last year who would become very physically aggressive and would have 10, 15, 20-minute emotional responses to things. He might miss an activity, and I'm not going to ask him to redo it. But the one that I have this year who is more just functioning in whining and being non-compliant, I'll say, oh, we can take a break right now, but I'm letting you know that we're also going to do this. We're going to do our activity after. So that even when he's mad about that, he can process it and know that, yep, I'm not going to be able to get out of reading this book. He, the other day, did not want to read a book, and so he was going on and on with me about how this was an awful book, and I said, okay, you have the choice. You may either stay and listen to my story, or you may go take a break, but we're going to still read this book together later. And he decided to stay and listen to the story, and he was perfectly fine. But even when if he chose to take a break, like if his body was showing that, we'd say, oh, yeah, I understand you didn't want to read the book, but this is something that we need to do because it's our job at school. And natural consequences of actions and logical choices, you know, after if we were throwing toys, oh, I think we need to go and pick up 5 of those toys that we threw. Let's see if this has sound. This one is talking about a kid utilizing the safe space in Upper L, where you might not have as much emotional outbursts that I'm currently I deal with. Oh. Okay, maybe not. Anyone got an idea? You can hear it? Okay.
And hear, though.
Might be Yeah. All right, let's try again.
Do you want to put the microphone in
there? Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. Teamwork.
For social studies, math, reading, or science, it's very helpful. Mostly, if you get a little frustrated, you just do like the star stuff. You could relax and go back to working and try your best at it.
Right, so for you, it's helpful. And when you get frustrated with the work and the testing and the pressure, so to speak, you take a little kind of moment off, come back, and do you think you do better when you come back?
So the thought being that for some students, it might just be that they're feeling anxious about a test, and just giving them that place that if they're feeling that, they can go, they can utilize it, and then come back to what they need to do. Oh, no. All right. Hold on. All right. So you've got 3 minutes to, what do you want to try? What question? Put it in the Google Doc.
Thank you.
most of these things are linked either in the resources or in that Google Drive. But a few different ideas of if you need it when you have individual students that need more. If they can't handle a full class visual schedule, like that makes them overwhelmed first then, or what does it look like to have the expected behavior? That routine that I had talked about with one of my students of like that he would move a picture for each part when he was unpacking his backpack. Or different social stories. I had a student last year who'd become very emotional at drop-off every day. So then we wrote a story about how she goes to school, her parents go to work, she had pictures that she could look at, and that after school she could talk to them. Or one about even utilizing the safe space. Sometimes my friends or teachers will do something that makes me mad and I can take a break. I also, last year there was a day where me and my assistant were going to be gone, so what ended up turning out to be my own semi-obituary at the top there, because it was like a flip book and it was like, when Mrs. Miller is gone, this is who's going to be here. And like, I had shown it to someone, they're like, it kind of sounds like you're dying. And I was like, no, I'm just going to TFT training. But we were both going to be gone. So like walking them through that change of that there was going to be two different adults that neither one of the adults that they're normally used to. Yeah, so that's it. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you.